It's the former Miss, former First Lady.
Double down on the double down.
Yes.
Yes, it's time. you know, I just, speaking of doubling down and betting, I finally mailed in that ticket that I got in Reno. So I'll have a big $32 coming my way.
Yes.
Yeah. How about
minus postage and handling.
Right. Minus postage and handling that I bought the ticket like 6 months ago. But there who cares? Go.
The Raiders came through.
$32 out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, you know, we didn't cover the NFL here on Say Hey all season. That was our choice and we felt good about it. And now that the season is over, we kind of said, well, we'll just kind of cover it here and there where we feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
So today's one of those days where we're gonna talk a little NFL because not surprising news, but Peyton Manning did officially retire. And that is definitely noteworthy over the course of the last basically 20 years.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
That's a long time.
It is a long time.
Yeah.
You know, and when you take it further back, you know, to his college career, which I hope we have a chance to talk about too, because I want to mention the Tennessee scandal.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's been, you know, kind of at the forefront of football. I mean, you know, he was a Heisman Trophy candidate, mm-hmm. lost out to Charles Woodson, the last guy who actually won on the defensive side of the ball. But one of the first games I ever saw at the University of Alabama when I was going to school there was against Tennessee mm-hmm. in Birmingham. And
first play from scrimmage,
80-yard touchdown,
yep.
And I knew we were going to be in for a long night.
I've seen that highlight, and so, I think of you every time, because it's part of his, like, oh, here's Peyton when he was a young guy.
Totally.
That's, like, part of his highlight reel.
Yeah. Beat us 4 straight years, mm-hmm. and I was there, and it was just, you know, thank God I had some Jim Beam.
Right.
And, just saying.
You know, he was a great, he was obviously a great college player. He wound up winning 2 Super Bowls. Over the course of 20 years, one with the Colts, one with the Broncos this year,
mm-hmm.
set pretty much every regular season record in the book. I mean, never, other than the neck surgery he had to have, never really suffered major serious injuries that kept him out for a long time.
Yeah.
Was one of those guys that, now the edge, he did have the edge in Indy. They did have a good run game there for a little while, but
yes.
they never had a good defense.
No.
And, because of that, he's one of these quarterbacks that was kind of forced to take the game on his back a lot and maybe try and win games that were at a point out of his control. I mean, imagine if Peyton Manning had played on some really good defensive Indianapolis teams
and
had it going both ways. Probably have a couple more rings.
Yeah, it would be interesting, and you know, these hypothetical arguments are kind of mm-hmm. sometimes they're a little silly. But I mean, if you put Brady on the Colts
mm-hmm.
in the early part of last decade, because I think the Patriots clearly had a better defense.
Oh, absolutely,
with like Bruschi and all those guys,
absolutely.
And Belichick being the defensive mastermind that he was.
Mm-hmm.
If you flip flop those guys and put Brady on the Colts, I don't know. Maybe Manning has 4 and Brady's got 2. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
In either case, I never really. I mean, even when he would kind of fall apart sometimes in big games, like I said,
and he did
doing too much.
It's not like
interceptions.
Yeah.
I mean, that aside, the criticism I always thought was a little too harsh, just because. Shoot, if you're in the playoffs that much,
you're going to fail.
Most players are going to fail quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know, the Bradys and Montanas of the world are pretty
exception.
Few and far between.
Totally.
Yeah.
I think they said he went to the playoffs 15 out of his 18 seasons,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty phenomenal. The only person that recently can rival that, obviously, is Brady. Now, Brady has had more postseason success. He's gone to 9 AFC championships,
mm-hmm.
which is phenomenal. 6 Super Bowl appearances, which is pretty impressive. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, Manning's defense definitely let him down. But
they went to 4 Super Bowls under Manning's
He went to 4.
Over the years.
He was,
what, 3-1 in AFC championships against Brady? I think is the stat. That was one where the playoffs didn't bite him quite as hard when he was facing Tom.
Yeah, he won 2 in Denver in Mile High.
Uh-huh.
And then they won the one in 06
right.
when it was a shootout that you thought the Patriots were going to run away with it. They were up 21-3
mm-hmm.
after I can't remember his name, but it was a pick 6. And I was thinking, I started laughing. I was calling my buddies. I thought it was over.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Patriots defense just kind of, they had played on the road against the Chargers the week before. And they were, you know, people were saying there was flu running around. But either way, Peyton got it done. It was one of the most phenomenal games I've ever seen. I believe it was 38-34
mm-hmm.
was the final. Classic AFC championship. And then they went on to handle the Bears
right.
down
the,
in Miami.
The Rex Grossman Bears.
The Rex Grossman, lest anyone forget.
That was a bad Super Bowl. That was not a good game.
That was not a good game. Yeah. It was never close. I think the one big highlight is the Bears returned a kick for a touchdown.
Yeah,
you know,
right,
I think
right.
they only mustered like 13 points.
Right.
So, I mean, the AFC Championship was the Super Bowl that year.
Right, yeah.
You know, so I don't want to take anything away from the guy. You know, he was a phenomenal player, and, you know, with all the gesticulations at the line of scrimmage and Omaha, and, you know, whether or not, you know, what he was calling out was a diversion or if it was an actual audible, a hot route. You know, the guy definitely has still one of the greatest minds in football.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he was kind of an amazing success story the latter portion of this season after being hurt, then benched, then right. coming back. And for a year and a half, you could tell his arm was, as far as NFL quarterbacks and how the way he used to be, was toast.
Definitely.
He couldn't throw the ball. He had the worst arm in the league, and that's not an understatement.
No.
He had far and away the worst arm in the league for the last year and a half, and managed to be a completely different type of player, turn into a straight-up game manager.
Right.
For the last couple weeks of the regular season and the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing flashy, some short touchdown passes here and there.
Yep.
And
relied on a great
defense.
Left
a great defense, one of the great defenses of you know, the last 15, 20 years for sure.
Yeah.
Win them a championship. Mm-hmm. And a lot of guys, the Brett Favres, they could never do that. Brett Favre would insert himself into the game any way he wanted to.
Yeah, he would have thrown across his body,
wrong.
Interception. Yeah.
Yeah, that just it was kind of interesting to see him take that role. You just don't see a lot of guys as prideful with as much success over as many years kind of take that back seat at that position.
Well, that's the cool thing about, well, at least whether or not that was his real personality or his cultivated personality, mm-hmm. he never was an egomaniac.
No.
Peyton Manning has never been the kind of guy that's been like, me. Win or lose, he always was very deferential. You know what I mean? Either would say that the other team played well, you know, was very complimentary of the other team, or, you know, if they lost, he took it on his shoulders a lot, never blamed teammates, never blamed coaches. I never once ever heard him throw his coaching staff under the bus, where you hear that a lot. I mean, even like the LeBron James of the world will throw their coaches under the bus.
All the time. Yep.
You know what I mean? And Peyton never did that. So
you remember when the kicker, Mike Vanderjack, was running his mouth?
He did say something. He said, call him the stupid kicker or something.
That dumb something kicker got liquored up and ran his mouth.
That See, I'm okay. Like, I'm all right with that.
That was kind of funny, actually.
That was funny because it was a little out of character. But at the same time, it just goes to show that Peyton's not a robot.
Yeah,
you know what
right.
I mean? Despite some of his interviews. And honestly, Vanderjagt was in the wrong.
Yeah.
And Vanderjagt blew that kick, too, against Pittsburgh in the
kickers
playoffs.
Kickers don't get to call out quarterbacks.
No. Never. Ever.
Under any circumstances.
Zero.
Not even if you're Adam Vinatieri and your quarterback is Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
You don't
still.
Get to do it. Right. It's definitely noteworthy that he's hanging it up, even though we all kind of knew or hoped he was going to.
For his sake, I think it's the right thing to do, to walk away on top.
Yeah, and like you said, the ego thing, almost every other guy probably would have announced mid-season, win or lose, this is my last year, or at least said it after the Super Bowl was immediately over. No, he didn't do any of that. He just let it play out, even though we all kind of knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
Let it play out for the team's sake, which is cool. Of course, and you mentioned it, though, there's been some really, like, I don't know what to call it, like, bizarre old allegations surfacing from Tennessee, sweeping the program when Peyton was there and naming him in them. And this is stuff from 20 – how many years was he in the NFL?
18. So this was about 20 years ago.
Over 20 years ago.
Yeah, this is from basically the time when I saw him in Tennessee.
Yeah, allegations of, you know, sexual misconduct and stuff with
the head trainer.
And I don't know. It's one of those things where, like, I mean, I never assume people are making that stuff up. And it's 20-some-odd years old, and you're reading about it in a media, which is like the 24-hour news cycle. And I don't really even know what to make of stuff like that when I read it.
I was a little shocked at first because he was the last person that I'd ever expect to hear something like that. But from what I understand is that the university, because he was, you know, the golden boy there, and she was very well respected.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she was the first female to work full time with the men's basketball and football team.
Mm-hmm.
She worked with the Olympic squads. She's a very well respected trainer, and apparently, you know, he you know, she was checking him out for a stress fracture on his foot, and he rested his genitalia on her face and head, supposedly, mm-hmm. allegedly. And apparently, from what has come out, there were administrators that were trying to ask her, like, to blame it on someone else, mm-hmm. specifically, like, a non-famous black player.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So there's allegations of racism, sexism.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, this whole thing is coming out of a probe that's blaming Tennessee for promoting a non-safe work
uh-huh.
environment.
Yep.
And I guess this wasn't the only incident. The only incident, I guess, involving Peyton. But I guess why this is coming out is because she signed a confidentiality agreement in part with her severance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they paid her a bunch of money to leave the university and uh-huh. not say anything about it. But then Peyton and his father wrote a book, around 10 years ago or something. It was like something about the family and whatever. It was about football and family.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of threw this woman under the bus and, like, you know, totally were trying to, like, defame her,
uh-huh.
which was apparently against – they weren't supposed to do that. And so I guess now, like – and, like, Christine Brennan from USA Today had written an article, and that kind of just got pushed to the back, you know, and so nobody ever really talked about it. And now these things are coming up. Why they didn't come up a couple of years ago, it's just because it's the end of his career. I have a hard time believing that the machine is so powerful that they can keep these things under wraps for so long. So why is it coming out now? Is it sour grapes or is it truth?
I don't know.
You know, was it just something that a dumb freshman did? You know what I mean? And if so, could he be apologetic about it and come forward? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I am.
Like, 18-year-old kids do stupid things. I'm not saying that that's excusable by any stretch of the imagination, but is it something that happened in the locker room and, you know what I mean? Is he really a bad person? Is he the type of person to sexually assault women? Probably not. But I'm not saying this didn't happen.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's a bizarre story.
It is.
In that it's about 25 years old.
Yeah.
And that there aren't a bunch of other incidents surrounding it.
Right.
So I really don't know. I hope that's not true. If it is true, he should admit it.
Yeah.
And, you know.
But he never will, though, because he's got such a carefully constructed persona.
Yeah.
He's kind of like this aw shucks guy. But, like, he's kind of
like family man.
Family man, you know, but he owns, you know, he's like the Papa John's spokesman statewide, or, you know,
right.
he's like an insurance. He does that. He does, you know, pizza, and I think he did Visa for a while, and he does, you know, he owns a bunch of Budweiser distributorships.
Right.
Which is like when I first saw him in the post-game interview after the Super Bowl, he's like, I'm going to drink a bunch of beer tonight.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I was like, cool, okay. I was like the 1 minute there where I was kind of like, okay, this guy's all right, you know?
Right.
And then I find out it was like this plug for Budweiser,
right.
and I didn't even realize it.
Right.
And then, you know, they asked him the question, which I didn't appreciate Jim Nance asking him the same question that the sideline reporter had just got done asking him, but he answered in the same way. He said, well, thank God, and I got to see my family and all this.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of very robotic and didn't seem as, you know, spontaneous and as human as it had appeared when he got interviewed the first time.
Right.
But, you know, all that aside, now there's HGH allegations,
yeah,
which may be unfounded.
What is that? That Al Jazeera report?
It was an Al Jazeera report.
Yeah, which, yeah.
So,
yeah. That Al Jazeera report, I think, is pretty bogus. But in any case, that the Tennessee thing is totally bizarre. And if it's true, he should admit it, but he won't.
He will never.
You know, he might have been a total frat boy when he was 18.
Right.
I have no idea. But it's a totally bizarre story.
It is bizarre.
Considering, I don't know.
Because, you know, this is the type of guy that you could see being like running for office someday.
Uh-huh.
Like,
yeah.
You could see him being governor of Louisiana.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Which is where the Mannings are from. They're from New Orleans. They're
right.
Kind of like a old school, very well-respected family.
Yeah, the Book of Manning is a good 30 for 30 if you want to learn about his dad, Archie, raising his kids. That's interesting stuff.
I think one thing that's pretty interesting, though, is Eli's reaction during the Super Bowl.
Oh, just standing there?
Standing there, stone-faced, realizing his brother just won the second one, and he was no longer on top.
Kind of more.
He did not look very enthusiastic.
It kind of just looked like he looks most of the time. Just kind of standing there, like, vaguely disinterested. I don't know. I thought it was funny more than anything. Yeah, maybe he wasn't actually watching the game. Who knows?
Right.
Maybe he was lost in thought.
Yeah.
Let's take. We're gonna do. We have a Chico State Weekly wrap up now that we're gonna get to feature each week with our KZFR intern Jordan Booth. He's a Chico State student, He's on top of it. Let's have a listen to this week's wrap-up. This is number 5. Take it away, Jordan.
What's going on, KZFR listeners? It's time for another one of your Chico State Weekly Wildcat wrap-ups. Once again, I'm your host, DJ J Pounds. Well, I hope you guys are ready because there's a lot going on this week in Wildcat Athletics. Well, let's get right into it. In women's basketball news, though the Lady Wildcats missed the playoffs, Whitney Branham made the all-conference team, as well as McKenna Barker being an honorable mention. In softball news, there's supposed to be a 4-game series against CSU San Marcos, but due to the heavy rain on Saturday, the Lady Wildcats were only able to play the first 2 games, winning the first game 4-0 and the second game 7-2. The games will not be rescheduled or made up. In women's golf news, after a 2-week hiatus, the Lady Wildcats will be in action today and tomorrow at the Cal State East Bay Tim Tierney Shootout. In women's track and field news, the Lady Wildcats took part in their first full track meet of the year in Turlock, California. With some outstanding performances from Bailey Moss, Taylor Sack, and Kayla Lawson, the Wildcats finished 3rd with 177 points earned over 19 events. Chico State women's track team will be back in action next Saturday, hosting the day-long Wildcat Invitational at University Stadium on Chico State's campus. All right, well now let's swing it over to the men's side. In men's basketball news, the 22-6 champions of the CCAA Conference received the number 7 seed in the West Region, pitting them against UC San Diego on March 11th in Monmouth, Oregon, making their 13th championship tournament appearance in the school's history. In individual awards, Robert Duncan won the CCAA Player of the Year and was also named first team all CCAA, as well as his teammate Isaiah Ellis, who also received first team honors. Coach Greg Klink also was named the CCAA Coach of the Year. Also, Tanner Giddens received the second team all CCAA mention, and Jalen McFerrin received honorable mention. In baseball news, the Chico State men's team was scheduled to have a 4-game series with Cal State East Bay, but the rain cut their 4-game series short. After winning the first game 10-7, heavy rains prevented the series from continuing, leaving it to be made up on a day to be announced. In men's golf news, the Chico State men's team finished 2 strokes behind the eventual event winner, Lynn University, in the NCAA D2 South Southeast Super Regional Preview. With a superb first and second place performance from Lee Gerhardt and Alistair Doherty, the Wildcats look to continue their string of excellent performances in their next outing at Poppy Ridge in Livermore, March 14th and 15th. In men's track and field news, the Wildcats took part in their first full track meet of the year in Turlock, California. With outstanding performances from Justin Wu, Jack Johnson, and Tristan Lake, the Wildcats won the Invitational with 221 points, outdistancing Modesto College. Look for the Wildcats to be back in action next Saturday, hosting the day-long Wildcat Invitational. All right, guys. Well, that's a wrap for everything in Wildcat Athletics over the weekend. I'd like to thank you for tuning in. Once again, I'm your host, DJ J Pounds. Much love, and thank you for listening to your community-powered radio station, 90.1 FM, KZFR Chico.
That is Jordan Booth. That is excellent information. I am very glad, actually, to have that segment on the show.
No, that's great. It's perfect.
That's good stuff. Jordan is a Chico State student. He is an intern here at KZFR, along with a couple of other fabulous interns we have these days. So thank you, Jordan. You should be hearing that on a weekly basis now, which is super cool. And, you know, Noobs, we were just talking a minute ago about Peyton, and as we said, now that we're done with the official NFL boycott, we'll just kind of talk it where we see it. And I said to you, should I rant about Chip Kelly? Because I kind of feel like it.
I love your rants.
I haven't talked about it at all. I don't like Chip Kelly being hired by the 49ers. I can't stand him. He's a total gimmick coach that will never, I don't believe, will ever have a very high level of success in the NFL. I think he has a chance to frequently put out decent teams that will never really be a team that's super threatening. Much like a Don Nelson team.
Okay.
Now, I'm not going to say he's Don Nelson, because all of Don Nelson's shortcoming aside in basketball, he's the winningest coach in NBA history.
Yeah, but he's also like the losingest, isn't he?
He just, you know, Don Nelson's king of the one and dones.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, when you coach 30 years in the NBA, you're going to rack up some wins.
Yeah.
Even if you go 40 and 40.
Just a lot of harmless good teams for the most part.
Yeah. They didn't play a lot of defense.
No, they never played defense, and they couldn't shoot free throws and blah, blah, blah. And Chip Kelly's teams are like that in the football world. They up-tempo offense, defense on the field all game long.
Yeah.
You know, I call all the plays. The defensive coordinator is not, or, you know, does what I tell him. It's just like he's an ego guy. I'm not saying he's a bad person, but he's a me-first coach under the regime of a me-first owner and a me-first GM. They don't have any talent on the team, on the roster, other than a couple of spots here and there. They don't really know what they're doing with their salary cap or their quarterback position. Mm. Kaepernick wants a trade, and he should. Not that I want to see Kaepernick back, but, you know, Blaine Gabbert's not the long-term answer. Maybe they'll draft a quarterback, but it's not going to matter. They have a terrible offensive line. They have no defensive line. They're going to score some more points this next season, but there's no chance. They have no chance to succeed at a higher level. This is a total media stopgap. That's all it is. It drives me crazy.
They got a couple good running backs, don't they?
I mean, they have a decent run game if healthy.
Right.
I mean, last year Carlos Hyde missed basically three quarters of the season.
Right.
Signing Reggie Bush was a joke.
Right. But then the backup, I can't remember the kid's name. He had a couple good flashes, I thought.
Drawn. Yeah, he did all right. But yeah. I mean, like you say, he's a backup.
Right.
They don't have any wide receiver talent other than, you know, Anquan Boldin being an aging veteran. You know, he's going to be a borderline Hall of Famer someday, but he's like, you know, he's in his like 15th season or something.
Yeah, he's definitely getting up there.
They got nothing. And Chip Kelly he's not Jim Harbaugh. He's nothing like, he's not that kind of culture change guy.
And they gave him full like GM.
No. Baalke retains GM responsibilities.
Okay.
But I don't think Baalke's a very good GM. Most of the talent they succeeded with on the Harbaugh roster, a lot of that was drafted by the prior GM.
Okay.
He has not had a lot of success other than a couple picks here and there.
So Chip Kelly is not going to be involved in player personnel decisions, or he is?
I mean, he's involved because he's the head coach, but he doesn't make the decisions.
Right.
He just has input. But I just don't see anything significant happening with Chip Kelly at the helm for any foreseeable stretch of time.
Hmm.
And it just bums me out more than anything.
Yeah. So we were looking at another 4 years of
just, you know, whatever.
It's so crazy what a precipitous fall that franchise has had.
Because,
I mean, there was that three-year run they had where they were in the NFC Championship game every year. It was amazing.
Just embarrassing. But let's move on from that. You know what I'm tired of, noobs, is I am so tired of this Chicago Bulls record who's better thing. I could not be less interested in that whole thing. I don't care at all. I just want the playoffs to get here.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm over the regular season because it's exciting when you root for a team that's, you know, on record pace, whatever.
Yeah.
But like the media cycle of it is just exhausting and stupid. Like, let's say, for example, the Warriors finished one game worse than the Bulls. Does that one game mean that they're the lesser team? Let's say they finish one game better than the Bulls. Does that mean they're better than the Bulls?
Right.
No. Or the great Celtic teams that lost four more games than the Bulls, or the Showtime Lakers or whatever? No, it doesn't mean anything. I mean, Michael Jordan, sure, Michael Jordan's probably the greatest single player in the history of NBA basketball. Let's just say that.
Couldn't argue.
That doesn't necessarily have to mean that his Bulls were better than everybody else of that era, you know, give or take 10 years. You know, like, are they 100 times better than the Shaq and Kobe Lakers? I don't know. They didn't play each other.
No.
The whole thing, and this goes for any sport, comparing teams of different eras and comparing teams by what record means this is stupid. Yeah. Why can't you just enjoy great things while they're happening? The Spurs are quietly having one of the great seasons in NBA history.
That's the thing that to me is getting lost in the shuffle here, is that
there are three games behind the Warriors.
It's unbelievable, because this is a team that's been doing it now for 16 years.
Yeah.
And has won five NBA championships, and they're having their best regular season in this whole run, this whole Popovich era.
Right.
And it's not getting talked about
at all.
I mean, if you turn on SportsCenter, you know, the crawl that goes, that Golden State's got its own section.
Right.
You know what I mean? It kind of reminds me of, like, you know, every time the Patriots reel off 10 wins in a row. And it makes me nauseated, even as a Patriots fan. I'm like,
why
are you separating this team like it's its own thing?
Right.
And if they get to 73, great.
Awesome.
But it's not going to mean anything if they don't win a championship.
Nothing.
So
I gladly have them be the 2 seed and win a championship than have them, you know, set the record and then, you know, bow out in the conference finals or whatever.
Right.
You know, like the 16-0 Patriots. What's that mean to you?
Just
as a Patriots fan. Heartache and nothingness.
And confusion.
You know, like
emptiness.
You have teams that you enjoy more because they won everything. Yeah. You know, and like, were the 16-0 Patriots, had they won that Super Bowl, does that mean they're better than the 15-1 Joe Montana 49ers or the Steel Curtain or whatever? It's like, there's no point. I mean, sure, it's fun to talk greatness you know, if you're being objective and you want to appreciate different teams from different eras, but creating this line in the sand where everybody has an opinion and you're asking all these like players that were like the 12th man on some like, semi-final, you know, Phoenix Suns team from the 90s. It's like, you're asking the Steven Jackson, we believe Warriors.
Right.
Oh yeah. Right, Stack Jack. I'm sure your We Believe team that got knocked out by the AK-47 Jazz in the second round were a lot better than these Warriors. Thanks. I'm glad they asked you your opinion. You know what I mean? It's just so ridiculous.
This is a better rant than the Chip Kelly rant.
Well, the Chip Kelly rant is lifeless. It's just like, it's kind of a bummer.
Right.
At least this one has like some actual life behind it. You know, because you know, the Warriors are going to the playoffs as either the one or the two seed. And
for sure.
And it's going to be a great set of playoffs no matter what happens. Mm-hmm. For example, the record-setting Bulls team lost 10 games in the regular season. They lost 4 games in the playoffs. Okay. Now, that's not a lot of losses in the playoffs, but that's almost half their total over the course of a much smaller sample size.
But you're playing
the better teams.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that even the greatest teams, you're going to have some adversity in the playoffs no matter what, and it's exciting, you know?
I think Golden State only lost five games last year.
Yeah, but there was major adversity against
Memphis
down 2-1
and
Cleveland down 2-1.
Yeah,
even though they only lost 5 games, those were like gut
checks.
They
had two close series.
Yeah, they had two close series where they had a pivotal game they had to win.
Totally.
So
didn't lose another game in those series when they went down.
Yeah, they flipped the switch and they got there.
Yeah.
So I'm just eager for the playoffs to get here, so I don't have to listen about this regular season BS anymore.
Let me give you a little more regular season BS.
Yeah.
The one thing I will say is that one of the things that's impressive to me is I looked at the schedule, and they've got 15 home games left.
Yeah, they were on the road for basically a month.
Right.
Around the All-Star
break.
They
only have 6 road games.
Right.
One of them's at San Antonio, which should be interesting. Mm-hmm. But like, honestly, I don't see how they don't get it. I don't know how they don't get to 73 because they don't lose at home. And they've only got, out of the 6 road games, there's like they played Memphis, I think, and San Antonio once.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically all games that they should win. Now, you could say, oh, well, they lost to the Lakers. It's like, well, that's going to happen.
Well, and also, you look at their losses this season and some of their closest games, they do have a tendency to play down to their opponent at times.
Yeah.
Where they're just not bringing that same fire that they bring against the elite, because they don't have any losses against Cleveland,
Oklahoma City.
San Antonio, you know, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. They lost to the Bucks. They lost to the Nuggets.
Yeah.
They lost to the Lakers. I mean, like, they clearly at times will let down against an inferior opponent.
Well, also, too, I mean, sometimes shots just don't fall.
Shots don't fall.
I looked at the box score yesterday. I think, you know, Clay and Steph were collective, like, 4 from 20.
I think 3 for 20 or
something.
3 for 20. They had their worst
shooting performance
as teammates
collectively. Yeah,
collectively in totally. What 4 years of being on the same team.
So it's going to happen.
So it happens.
I mean, the Bucks game was at the end of 24 straight.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. These things happen. Denver, I think, was in Denver. Tough place to play. Altitude. Yada yada yada. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It happens.
You're 55-6.
The thing you got to feel good about is the fact that they've absolutely dominated Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was the one close game, but they put the dagger in them, and then they just blew them out at home.
Yeah.
I believe they're 3-0 against the Thunder, which is right now very likely to be, well, could be a conference semifinal matchup, depending if the Clippers catch Oklahoma City. So we'll see. Basically, I think mentally, they've got everybody kind of like thinking, what are we going to do? I mean, even Greg Popovich a month ago said they're unsolvable.
Right.
And I don't know if he was kind of playing possum there or whatever.
That's just Pop being, you know, we're running out of time here and say, hey, but that's Pop being like, hey, you know, I respect the fact that we're going up against a good team. He doesn't need to run his mouth like other coaches in the league would or other players in the league would. Guys like that, guys on the Spurs, Kawhi Leonard, they get it, man.
Yeah.
They totally get it. And the Warriors are that kind of team, too. They have to listen to a lot of trash talk to them by Joe Blows around the league, retired and otherwise. But for the most part, they don't say inflammatory things. They just respond. And I like that about the Warriors because they're a Steve Kerr team who's a Pop guy. I think he tries to instill that in his players for the most part.
I know we're over time here, but one quick thing I want to say about postseason runs that are incredibly impressive. I believe the Lakers, and like I think it was like 2000 or 2001 when they beat the Sixers in the finals, I think they only dropped two games the entire playoffs.
Right.
And then
right.
they dropped one in the Western Conference Finals and one in the finals. Yeah, they didn't win 72 games. But like when you pretty much sweep everybody, you know, seven-game yeah. series
yeah.
every round, that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
You know?
Yeah, and I mean,